A very good morning. Good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, well, welcome to your number one talk radio stations. It's a Monday morning. How was your weekend? So hopefully you'll get enough rest. There were a lot of activities. Well, it was also a weekend of mixed feelings, actually. We have so many death around, you know. It's that kind of weekend where we actually mourned some of our giant musicians, you know, Ras Shehama and also the Jackson Juniors as well. It's some of those weekends, yeah. So, and may their soul and all the faithful departed, you know, rest in eternal peace. So a very good morning to you. It's a Monday morning, and I said, you hope you have a rested weekend. You know, as I always said, we have a country to build. So are you pumped up to go again? So it's a new week. So it's another week that we are called, you know, to develop and build this country, this beautiful country. So every one of us, wherever you are, so whatever you do, so that's a call, that's your contribution to the building of this country, to building up this country. Okay? So make sure that what you do, you believe in what you do, and you believe that no matter what I do, it's a contribution to building up, you know, the well-being and the prosperous and the future of this beautiful land of the brave. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Koshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, in politics, in economics, and, you know, every other things that have your interest. You know, every day or every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends that is going on there, the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views, you know, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, thanks for joining us and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today is a Monday, the 8th of August. So let's start off how we start usually looking at on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So from the 8th to the 10th of September in 1970, Lusaka, Zambia hosted the third summit of the non-aligned movement, presided over by Zambian President Kenneth Kaunda. So this non-aligned movement is very important, crucially, because the summit reaffirmed non-alignment, you know, this summit reaffirmed the non-alignment during the Cold War tensions. So rejecting the notion that nation had to choose a side in bipolar world. So the Lusaka Declaration, a seminal document produced at the summit, strongly now denounced military alliances and foreign bases, asserting the right for every nation to pursue an independent foreign policy based on its national interest and the principle of peace, peaceful coexistence. Now, it declared the non-alignment as a force for peace, committed to democratizing international relations, and advocating for a multipolar, not a bipolar, but a multipolar world where the voices of the developing world could be heard and also respected. And in 1967, on the very same day, Uganda underwent a dramatic political transformation when Prime Minister Milton Obote, who had been in power since independence from Britain in 1962, pushed through a new constitution that abolished the country's traditional tribal kingdom. Now, this move effectively ended the semi-autonomous rule of cultural institutions like the Buganda Kingdom, so which had really held a significant influence under earlier, you know, colonial and post-colonial arrangements. So now the move also set the stage for Obote's increasingly authoritarian rule, which eventually led to his overthrow by Idi Amin in 1971. So that thus in 1967 stand as a pivotal year in Uganda's history, making the end of decentralized political system and then beginning of a strong centralized republic under Obote's leadership. All right, and today, although this is not unique to Africa, it's International Literacy Day. Today is an International Literacy Day. So the 8th of September is celebrated globally as International Literacy Day, recognized across the continent as well. So the United Nations designated this day to highlight the importance of literacy for individual empowerment and also societal development. So literacy, the International Literacy Day, serves as a crucial global reminder of the fundamental importance of literacy for individual dignity and also societal development. So this landmark decision was aimed to mobilize international effort, you know, encourage government to prioritize literacy programs, and highlight the transformative power of education as a tool for empowerment and progress. So today, it's International Literacy Day. So, and well, that's all what we have for you on this day in Africa. So, and it's a Monday. The Monday, September the 8th, what is our thought for the day? Never give a sword to a fool or a power to unjust men. Never give a sword, a gonga, to a fool or power to unjust men. So the proverb means that dangerous tools like a sword or a position of authority like power should not be entrusted to those who lack wisdom or morality. So giving such things to a fool or unjust person can lead to harm or abuse because they do not have the judgment or ethical standard to use them responsibly. So the proverb advises a careful consideration of who is trusted with influence or power or means that can affect others as misuse by unwise or unethical individual causes damage or injustice. So never give a sword to a fool or power to unjust men. Well, that will be our thought for the day, and hopefully that will help you to make, you know, the right decision. Whatever decision that you make should not be entrusted to those who lack wisdom and morality. So make sure that you're making right decision throughout the day today. So never give a sword to a fool or power to unjust men. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. So what we can expect today in the show, there is a very, very, very interesting story, a very interesting article from the African Report, looking at why our leaders actually fly across the world for this higher profile summit. Are they actually trading Africa's long-term strength for a short-term photo opportunities? So stay tuned. We're going to go into that. It's very, very, very interesting and dicey as well. So, and we have in our today's edition of The Villager, in our today's newspaper. So there's a very fantastic, this is an injection of good news from the Kavango West. It's about Munjima Gumwe woodwork generates over 100,000 now. But what we are going to unpack, is this a truly sustainable blueprint for lifting our rural communities or out of poverty, or is it a beautiful showcase project that might, you know, struggle once the big money and when the speeches are fade away? So is that the case? That's what we're going to look at, and that's what we're going to focus on. So Munjima Gumwe, so where is Helmut? You know, is this one monkey? Munjima Gumwe. So it sounds like one monkey. So, and if we have time, we also can look at the local content policy. It's drawing some mixed reactions as the petroleum unit from the president, from the presidency is going around for consultancy. So a policy that promises to put Namibians first, but the burning question is, and what we are going to unpack is, which Namibians? So stay around to find out. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa betu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaj. Eagle FM.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
I always love that. Because you in UNAM is, you know. Good morning and welcome. Welcome, Bel. Welcome back. Welcome back to this is Unpacking the Days. We are here and we are live from the Ondangwa studio. I'm going to be with you from now until the hour of 10 o'clock. So where I will be handing you over to Wintuk, to Tate, France, with Kuthamosha later on around 10. So for now, let's get into our first stories. And I said this is a very story that's a very, very interesting. I want you to picture this, all right? So I want to pull you into the story just for you to really feel what we're talking about. Now, so imagine this. So more than 50 presidential jets taking off from various African capitals. Now, they are not flying to Addis Ababa. You know, this is where the African Union headquarter is. They are not flying to head to Addis Ababa for an African Union meeting. They are not flying to Windhoek, maybe, or to Kigali or Accra. So they are all flying to Tokyo, to Beijing, to Paris, to Washington, D.C. You know, they are flying out to meet a single foreign leader to discuss the future of Africa. And that is the central theme of this article in the African Report that I want us to unpack this morning. Now, the headline say it all. The headline of that, it say it all, because it say from Tokyo to Paris, Africa's future can be built abroad. It cannot be built abroad. It must begin at home. So that is the headline of that article in the Africa Report. Now, of course, you have seen the pictures not even long time ago. You know, they were in Japan. Not long time ago, they were in Japan. I think it's our prime minister who was there. They pop up on the news every few months. You know, our president or our prime minister, whoever, alongside dozens of other African leaders, standing on a stage in Tokyo or in Paris or in Beijing. So there are big smiles, firm handshakes, you know, and grand announcement about partnerships and corporations. So it all looked very impressive and very, very official. So, but have you ever stopped and asked yourself, why are they always over there? Why does the meeting about Africa's development need to happen in Japan? So why does a discussion on Africa's future take place in France or Washington, D.C.? Now, this morning, we are digging this article. We are digging into this article from the African Report that throws a spotlight right on that very question. Why does the meeting about Africa development need to happen in Japan? Or our discussion or Africa's discussion on Africa's future have to take place somewhere else, you know, rather than in Africa. Now, so this question, it pushes us beyond the headlines and ask if these glamorous foreign summits are really serving Africa's best interests. So, now, this morning, I'm picking the day, we are tackling these tough questions, and this is inspired by these articles. So while our leaders fly across the world for higher profile summit, are they actually trading Africa's long-term strength for a short-term, as the article put it, a photo opportunities? Essentially negotiating our future, not from home, but from the guest room instead of our own home. Now, so we're going to look at what this means also for us as Namibian and explore whether it is time for Africa to stop being a guest at its own party. So we have seen these major international events like TICAD, what they call it, TICAD with Japan. We've seen FOCAC with China. with China. We have seen summit with the AU. We have seen summit with the US. You name it. All right? And what happens? Now, over 50 of our African leaders pack their bags, they pack their bags, board their planes, and they fly thousands of kilometers to attend. Now, the article we are looking at argues that the very image of this is a problem. Now, imagine, I'm just going to give you another image, imagine a big proud a family of 55 brothers and sisters. Okay, let's be inclusive as well. We have female president as well. So the proud family of 55 brothers and sisters, whenever they need to discuss their family budget or future, they all drove over to the rich neighbors, you know, to the rich neighbor's house to have the conversation there. So does that seem a bit, you know, strange? I'm just trying to put you into the picture of what the authors are trying to portray. So what does that mean is it put the neighbor in a position of power. So if you drove over to your rich neighbors, that's where now you're going to discuss, you know, it put the neighbor in a position of power. It makes the family look like they can't manage their own affair in their own home. Yeah? And this is exactly this is the core of the argument. So I'm just trying to introduce into what they are thinking. So this is the core of the argument. The symbolism, is one of dependence, not equal partnership. So it paints a picture of Africa as a continent that needs validation from abroad before it can decide on its own path. But it gets deeper than that. The author points out a stunning irony. Now, the irony is that back in 2020, the African Union, our very own continental body, you know, actually made a rule about this. You know, this whole question of, you know, going to have your meeting in someone's house. Okay? They made a rule back in 2020. And they passed a decision. The decision was 762, which basically said, listen, let's stop this mass exodus. Let's stop this mass traveling. You know, from now on, only a small, powerful delegation will represent us at this foreign summit. They made that decision. They passed that decision themselves. So let's have just a small group representing us at this foreign summit. The AU chairperson, the key regional leaders, so maybe someone from SADC, from ECOWAS. And so we have a unified team. That's a decision they have made. So that we look organized, we speak with one voice, and we save a fortune in travel as well. So we save also a fortune in travel cost. It was a brilliant plan to project strength and dignity. So that's what they decided. So what happened? Well, the article says that decision is being completely ignored. That decision is actually completely ignored, you know? So the invitation come from Tokyo or Washington, and leaders still scramble to, you know, to be there in person. They themselves want to be there in person. So they ignore the decision that they make. So the principle goes out of the window and the photo opportunity wins. According to the articles, put that as a photo opportunity wins instead of the principle, you know. So the principle goes out of window and the photo opportunity actually wins. Now, so let's get into it. What do you think is going on there? Is it a fear of missing out? Now, the reasons why, you know, they scramble now to be there themselves in persons. What is going on there? So is it a fear of missing out? Does that the president now of maybe Namibian president or Botswana president or whatever, Gabon president, so when now they go themselves instead of the body that they have, you know, they wanted, they decided on. So is it a fear of missing out? Would they think that they themselves, maybe their country will miss out? Is it a pressure from these powerful nations? So that if you don't come, you know, we put sanction on you or whatever the case may be. So, or is it that individual leaders feel they can get a better deal for their own country if they show up personally? So that's a question we need to ask. All right? And maybe something that we need to analyze. Now, the result, the article argues, is that Africa shows, when they show up fragmented. All right? They show up fragmented. Instead of one powerful voice negotiating for the entire continent, you have 55 separate voices, all competing for attention, all trying to secure their own small projects. Now, and this brings us now to the next crucial point. What is actually being negotiated at this summit? From the Africa now point of view and from now individuals, because now what we hear is that you have these 55 separate voices all competing for attention. And each one is trying to secure their own small project. So when now they go in the name of the African unity, so what do they negotiate at this summit? So are our leaders, when they are there, so are our leaders, you know, coming back with their, now when they come with the deals for, let's say, for example, a high-speed rail network connecting, let's say, Wavish Bay to Point Tenore, and beyond. So you see, looking at more projects that are more Africa-centered, are they securing investment, you know, for a continent-wide energy grid, for example, that could power our industries and home with our own renewable sources, for example? Not only Namibia, but, you know, are they building regional universities that could stop our best mind from leaving the continent? So, and the article says, mostly no. It's mostly no. Instead, what do? They often settle for what the article called petty pledges. Okay? A new road here, a scholarship program for a few hundred students there, a new hospital wing. Now, don't get me wrong. Also, I'm just, you know, but don't get me wrong. These things are important. Of course, a new clinic can save lives. So, but the argument is that this is a short-term thinking. It's like accepting a bag of groceries when you have the power to negotiate for ownership of the entire supermarket. So this is the argument. So we are focusing on the small headline grabbing project that a leader can point to when they come back home, instead of the massive transformational infrastructure that would fundamentally change Africa's place in the world. But instead we're focusing on the small, you know, headline grabbing project for our own country. That's what the article says. Now, think about our our own agenda 2063, that AU master plan for Africa we want, the Africa we want. It's full of these big, ambitious ideas. Africa continental free trade area, for example, it's one of those a big ambitious idea. Now, the question is, how can we make that a reality? Think of this. How can we make that a reality if at the same time we are all running off to a different foreign capitals to cut separate small deals that might even compete with each other? So in doing that, we may even compete with each other. How do we then make that a reality? Like, for example, the African continental free trade areas. So it weakens the story. The article says it weakens our collective bargaining power. If China, for example, knows it can talk to 55 leaders individually, why would ever China want to negotiate with a single unified Africa bloc that can demand much more? So they say it is a classic divide and conquer strategy. It's a classic divide and conquer strategy. And the article suggests our leaders are walking right into it. They are walking right into it. So, well, and what do you think? What is your point? Now, so the article we are discussing now, the article we are discussing make a strong case against Africa leaders attending this summit abroad. It make a case. And it's easy to agree, okay? It feels undignified, in the way how Africa's, do this. But I want us to look at the different, okay? I'm now critiquing the article. So somehow I'm looking at a different point, okay? And you can also later come and have your opinions when I open the line, all right? So, and I like to play that devil advocate for a moment. Let's do that for a moment. And let's look at the other angles the article maybe doesn't spend as much time on. Now, why do our leaders really go? Maybe let's look at that. Why do our leaders really go? The article suggests it's for photo ops and petty pledges. That's what the article say. And I think it's more, for me, I think it's more complex. Now, imagine you are a leader of a smaller African nation, okay? You have urgent needs, like we have a problem here. We have an urgent need like a drought. We have a problem of drought. We have a high unemployment. Maybe we have a port that needs upgrading. Imagine you're now a leader of that smaller African nation. Now, a Pan-African project might take 20 years to materialize. So if I go with the Pan-African, project, that might actually take 20 years. It might take 20 years to really materialize, if it ever does, actually. So, but at the summit in Tokyo or wherever, you can get one-on-one meeting and secure a bilateral deal for a new, let's say, for example, for a new irrigation scheme, as we have them here for Namibia right now. You can do that, isn't it? So I understand, as I said, I understand the point of the articles, but I'm also looking at another angle. Yes. So what they said, if I do that, it is short-sighted. Yes. But is it politically practical for a leader trying to deliver for their people today, right now? Possibly. So these leaders are in tough spot. They are really in tough spot sometimes. So how do you deal with unemployment, drought? And it could be short-sighted, yes. But I think it's political, practical, I think. You may have a different also look at that. So they have to balance the long-term dream of united Africa with a short-term reality of their government, of their situation in their own country. And so maybe they go because they feel the AU, the other thing is also, maybe they go because they feel the AU isn't delivering fast enough. Is it delivering on this problem the African leaders experience in their own country? So, and then when you go there to Japan, a direct deal is just sure things. And are they wrong, actually, or are they wrong or just pragmatic? Are they wrong or just being pragmatic? I think that's one take I'm thinking. I'm just asking, you know, are they wrong? Or maybe they're just being pragmatic. So the other, what are the agenda? The other things that now the article didn't look at is what is the agenda of the host countries? Okay? What is really the agenda of, let be clear, Japan, China, France, the US, the European Union, they are not holding this summit out of pure kindness. They are not. This is geopolitical 101. Eh? So, this is the new scramble for Africa, you know? Like it was in colonial time. This is a new scramble for Africa, but this time it is for three things, okay? Still the same strategy, but this time it's for three things. It's for your resources, it's for the market, and it's for the influence. So as I said, this country, when we have all this summit, it's not a summit out of pure kindness or charity or whatever you may call it. No! This is a strategy. Yeah. And it's for resources, for markets, and I mean, we are 0.3 billion, 1.3 billion. So that's a market. And we're talking about geopolitics. It's for influence as well. So what do they want? As I said, resources. They want our cobalt. They want our lithium. They want our rare earth minerals. Yeah. So they want access to our massive, massive youth market of over a billion people. That's what they want. They want, and Izo, when we talk, they want influence, as I said. Yeah? They want our 55 vote at the United Nations. So by inviting all our leaders, they can then bypass the AU. Hmm? So they can make separate deal, play countries off against each other, and secure their own national interest. That's the case. It's a strategy of divide and rule, dressed up as partnership. Surely. So when we see these now, those headlines about billion pledged to Africa, we need to ask, eh? And this is very, and I want you to take this seriously. So we need to ask, what are they getting in return? So we normally, and in most often, all we hear the European Union have given, take up the page, open up now, just open up the newspaper. Eh? Billion pledge to Africa. Just open up the page, any newspaper. You have all these millions and millions that these guys are giving. So the things, and one thing that we don't ask, and I don't know why, and even this big newspaper, we only talk about what has been the handover. We only talk about this, you know, this money is what's going to come for what and what and what. We never really ask, what are they getting in return? Eh? And the article touch on this. They touch on this, but we need to scream out. We really need to scream this out. This is not charity. And we should, most of you who comes here, you're very well, well educated people. So, and we know this is not charity. It is a transaction. And right now, Africa seems to be on the losing end of the negotiation. So we need to ask, what are they getting in return? So now, the other thing, also, I'm also looking at the, I'm critiquing the article itself on one end, okay? But we're also looking at, can we truly, and being honest, can we truly trust the AU as the alternative of all our problems, of all our country's problem? So the article presents the AU as the solution. It means enforce AAAA, like the rule that they had, that don't travel in everyone shouldn't go. Let's have a unified, team. So they said enforce AU rules, and then meet in Addis Ababa where the headquarters is. So in principle, that's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. But let's be honest, and not only in Namibia but across the continent, is the AU the powerful, efficient, and decisive body we need it to be? Is it what it we need it to be? And let's be honest, it's often struggle with funding. Even when they have their own meeting in Addis Ababa, it's normally funded by, depending on what they discuss, it's also funded by external donors, relying on external donors. Its decisions are sometimes not enforced by member states. So we have seen it ourselves, even in our own region, with SADC. Sometimes national interest trumps, the regional unity. So if the AU itself isn't seen as a strong enough vehicle to deliver, now, can we blame the leader now for seeking alternatives? Can we? And perhaps the problem is not just the leaders are ignoring the AU. Perhaps the AU itself needs to be strengthened from within, so that it becomes the logical place to do business. But for now, I don't think so. So the point is not a simple story of good versus bad. It's a complex web of national pressure, geopolitical games, and when we come back from this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So, as I said, from the article point of view, it's not a simple story of good versus bad. Okay, it's really a complex web of national pressure. You also have to think it's a political, geopolitical games, and also maybe from our part, an institutional weakness, and Africa is actually caught in the middle. So quickly then look at how do we fix this. The article offers some clear practical steps, and then we can allow you to come through. So enforce the rule. The leader must respect their own AU decision to send a small unified delegation. No excuses. That's what, is suggesting. And Africa needs to urgently hold its own major geopolitical conferences. on Africa's soil to define its place in this new, we're living in a new shifting world order. So have we even defined our role already in this new shifting world order? Even if they said, we're going to give you a seat at the UN Security Council, who will be there? We haven't sorted ourselves out yet. So they also negotiate as a block. That's now, so stop scrambling for individual deals. Use the power of the Africa continental free trade areas and our collective resources to negotiate from a position of strength. So demand technology transfer, not just loans. Demand local processing of our minerals, not just exporting raw materials. So those are the things that if we can do that as a unity, that's what the article proposed. So, and think big, shift focus from small fragmented project to the massive continental changing infrastructure that will build a real generational wealth, not just trying to, fix some problems that you have in your account. So, and we can also look at this in Namibian perspective, okay? We are a nation that prides itself on our international diplomacy. So, and we attend these summits, but are we attending as part of a strong, unified SADC bloc, for example, with a clear agenda? Or are we there primarily as Namibian, hoping to secure our own interests? So when we talk about our green hydrogen ambitions, are we discussing with our neighbors? I remember with oil, we're discussing our neighbor. We're talking about a refinery plant. But our neighbor, so when you talk about discussing now our hydrogen ambitions, are we discussing with our neighbors, with Angola, with South Africa, with Botswana, how we can create a regional energy, energy center that gives us immense bargaining power with Europe and Asia? Or are we focused only on our own, on our very own project? So that is not about blaming our leaders. It's about questioning the system they are operating in. That's what it's all about. A system that, according to this analysis, so encourage competition when we desperately need that collaboration with everybody. So I think it's a shift from short-term political thinking. What can I deliver before the next election? That's actually a short-term political thinking. What can I deliver before the next election? So that's why you focus on this rather than long-term generational thinking. So what decision can we make today that will ensure a sovereign and prosperous Africa for our grandchildren? I think that's the shift that we need to have as African. So the choice, as the article puts it, is talk. Do we continue competing for scraps from the global trade, or do we build our own table here at home and invite the world to sit with, to sit with us as equals? So that's the issue. So do we continue? Do we build our own table here at home and invite the world also to sit with us, as equals? So I'll open up my line. So you're most welcome now to come through and have your comment or reaction to what we have discussed so far. So what is your take? What is what are your thoughts? Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So you can now come through and have your thoughts and have your contribution to the topic.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
And of course, you shouldn't be worried of not being connected to Eagle FM. Or what you need to do is actually download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Store, and you will stay connected to Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, and wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM, and you can do that through Eagle FM mobile app, or also if you're in office, you can also listen to Eagle FM through our website on your computers as well. So, today is a Monday. It's Monday, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, so well, it's a time to get yourself a free copy of The Villager. And or what you need to do, it's quite simple actually. You just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. You pay absolutely nothing. So, well, unless you get the charges from MTC or anyone or any other mobile communication that you're using. So, that's all what you need to do. So, and The Villager is normally published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So today's one is already out. It's already out. So make sure that you subscribe for Wednesday one. So because this one is already out for today. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social media platforms. We are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, Telegram, and so many other social media. So make sure you engage us on those social media, and you leave a like, comment. So we want also to have your feedback and also you engaging us on our social media platforms. So, and those of you that are, you know, business-oriented or business people, or you just have an event, your event that you want, or event or function or workshop that you want to expose via maybe a live streaming or broadcasting, well, you can contact our office as well at 083-288-400. So 083-288-400. So that's a number you can contact. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So today we're looking at a very interesting, article. From Tokyo to Paris, Africa's future can be built abroad. It must be begin at home. So, yeah, so that's the article that we have unpacked this morning. We're talking about, you know, African leaders, especially focusing on this foreign summit, a summit that actually discussing Africa future or anything, a development of Africa, but it's actually done outside of the continent. And this is what the discussion, it's the article is arguing. So how we fly out to meet a single foreign leader to discuss the future of Africa. So highlighted a couple of things that are worth noting. So, yeah. So the issue of I think what what the article really, you know, to sum up what the article, you know, highlight is that the problem is
no matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
It's just another one here. O-G-A-B-O, if I can, then let's get together. Come on, it up. Let's get together. Come on, it up. Let's get together. Come on, it up. Let's get together. Let's get together. Let's get together.
Omutia, we take it off a guna, e matina, omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longish fa, ya, as you get Moshiwana, e moyao, or tango got some money. Anagashi fa, yanamibia, on Pitom, Wanawa, or Jika. Se isanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, yue, youngish fa, yue, kupitira, mo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeleha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa vetu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081.
All right. A very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And yeah, so when you're live, there's always some time, so hiccups that can come through. All right. So, okay. So, as I said, it's a Monday morning, and you're most welcome now to come through on that, on our first item. So, here, the problem from this article, just to maybe sum up what we have discussed on this one, is that Africa's future too often being discussed and decided in a foreign capitals. So, which reinforces a cycle of dependency and weakened the continent bargaining power. So that's the point that article is trying to make. Now, the partnership, the illusions that the article is talking about, the partnership offered at this summit are often transaction designed to benefit the host nation's strategic interests. So from securing resources to gaining political influences. So that's actually the article tried to say. There is this illusion of that this under the partnership agreement so offered at this summit, and those are often transaction, you know, those are often transaction designed to benefit the host nation's strategic interests. And that's very true. So from securing, as I said, resources and also to gaining political influence. The other things also the article then looking at is the internal contradiction. African leaders are ignoring their own agreed upon AU rules to present a united front, opting instead for individual, you know, as the article put it, fodder ops and bilateral deals. So, and the real cost out of this fragmented approach undermines Africa's own grand plans that we have, like Agenda 2063 or the Continental Free Trade Areas. So, and prevent us from tackling the big structural issues holding us back. So, the path forward requires, as they said, discipline, unity, and a fundamental shift in a mindset. So from being a grateful guest to being the proud host of your own destiny. So, yeah, it's a lot to think about. And it challenges the way we see international relations and Africa's role in the world. So what do you think? As I said, are this summit a necessary evil in a world where we need investment? Or are they a collective missed opportunity, a trap of our own making? Is that the case? So, as I said, you may come through, and our telephone number is 083-366-0091. 083-366-0091. So, please, that's the number you can dial to come through. So, all right. So, let's have a quick one, and then when you come back, while we're waiting for you, we may move to our next topic as well.
Omudiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chicago Shafasa Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E Moyao, or Tango Kotisamweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombidom Banawa, Orangika. Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yoyo Kupira, Mo Igele FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o miyaji. Igele FM, the eye.
Very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So, I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli, and now we are going to Kavango West, all right, to a small community called Mbungu, all right? So the story in the villager in the villages in newspaper today that will put put a smile on our face. It's about a local woodwork cooperative generating over 144,000. It's also creating jobs. The story is also creating jobs and also bringing some hope, you know. So here we also bring good news as well. So it's exactly the kind of news we love to hear. But, and you know there's always a but coming. So we don't just read the headlines, so we unpack them. So now let's look at this story that we found today in the villages, in today's villages, a story by Anakleta Haikera. So now I want you to think, to imagine the community of Pungu, okay? Like any other, many other rural areas in Namibia, jobs can be very scarce, and opportunities are limited. So particularly in a place like that, deforestation is a real concern as well. But this community decided to do something about it. They decided to do something. And back in 2019, they started the Munchima Gumwe Woodwork Cooperative. So where is Helmut? Helmut, where is Helmut when you need him? What is Munchima Gumwe? Munchima Gumwe, you know, I think it's one monkey. I'm interested to know if that's the case. Munchima Gumwe, anyone who is speaking Kavango, Munchima Gumwe, you know, woodwork cooperative. So, yeah, what does it mean, Munchima Gumwe? I just want to know if my thinking is actually right. So, yeah, then back in 2019, they started the Munchima Gumwe, woodwork cooperative. Now, a major project called Nilaleng, okay, Nilaleg, which focused on landscape and environmental governance, came in with a big investment. So we are talking about 6 million for modern machinery, infrastructure, and training. Okay? 6 million. So, and also, you know, with the new machinery and infrastructure and also training as well. So, yeah, let's get to the caller quickly and then we'll continue with this. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm just coming in to correct you on the issue of the term that you were reading of Munchima Gumwe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that you wanted to know what it means by Munchima Gumwe, because I heard you were saying about it, one monkey.
Yeah, it sounds like it's Munchima.
Munchima
Gumwe. Is it a one heart?
Yes, one heart.
Aha, no, okay, no, I look at, I think the spelling of this is what, it's what me throw, what throw me off. Yeah. Yeah. So Munchima Gumwe, then it means one heart.
One heart, yes, it's one heart wood, whatever it is.
Aha.
One heart thing, yeah, it's a project based on the name, one heart, so.
Yeah, okay, thanks, because I wanted to know, is it Munchima Gumwe now, it's kind of like, okay, is this a monkey, or I didn't thought it was a heart.
No, it's a heart, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no.
I also wanted just to throw in something, although maybe might not be part of what it is, but...
No, because you corrected me, so actually you corrected me, so then go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, my brother.
Yeah.
On the issue of these agendas which the government normally bring it or put out on whatever developmental programs, to say Agenda 2010, Agenda 2030, or Agenda
Yeah, those development plans, yeah.
Mm. Yes. You see, my brother, me, I don't know where our elders are thinking or what is really in their mind.
Yeah.
When they put the Agenda 2080, what do they mean, and what is it that is going to help for today to Agenda 2063?
Yeah.
Those people are not going to be there, those who put those agendas. And things are changing from day to day living. You can see, the thing that people were doing long after 30, 40 years ago is not the same thing that people are doing today.
Yeah.
And those agendas can be flatly forgotten.
Yeah.
Whatever they put in place, people, they will see something else and change.
And so probably that's the reason why the young people should be also part of the whole developing these agendas, isn't it?
Yes.
Because they will be there.
Yes.
Mm. Hello? Oh. one heart. Muchima gumwe. Eh? So one heart. All right. So we lost him, but he was actually making a very good point. Eh? So he was actually making a very good point on this, when we talk about agenda, whatever, you know. Let's see if we see him coming back. Very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, my brother. How was your weekend?
Well, it was a mixed feeling, I think. Because of it's really hurt me when I heard about Russ. And even yesterday or day before yesterday also, you know, Jackson Junior. So it's really hurtful. But well, life goes on. And especially when someone, this is something, it hurts me because this is it's a profession, you know, it's my profession where to help people, in, especially with counseling and all. When you hear someone died of taking their own life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it's just that we as a nation, we're not caring enough. We're not, you know, being there for people. Yeah.
Exactly. That is the truth.
Yeah. Mm.
Like everybody's in your own.
Yeah, it becomes an individualistic world, you know, created by the Western thinking and philosophy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We don't have any more that family tie.
Exactly.
You have to look at one another. Like in the weekend, we're supposed to be in Tofro. The other way, we are in the group.
Mm.
Like maybe let us go and watch Namibia cricket, the girls against Zimbabwe, all those things.
Yeah.
It never happened. Wherever somebody called you out, unless you want to. I mean, you are the one who is calling you. You're going back.
Yeah.
That's all.
Exactly. Well, let not be sentimental. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But anyway, it's really hard because the industry lost.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
When it comes to that event, just imagine two people in the 1 week.
Yeah.
It's really something we have to talk. But anyway, come back to your topic. I think we have me and Elmuta yesterday, we have in this show, we have one of those talking about, like when it comes to foreign influence in our domestic politics,
yeah,
it's too much, and it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you see, just imagine how many summits we have, even Turkey summit, China summit, U.S. summit.
Washington summit. And the issue, the article is talking about that, but you're going to discuss about Africa's future, but you're going to discuss it in a foreign land.
Outside even, yeah?
Yeah. Hmm?
That is the thing. And as always Kweji saying that Africans are where the children will never grow.
Yeah.
Somehow it makes sense because I'm telling you, just imagine, and the history also is repeating itself. Our forefathers have been doing the same story.
Yeah.
Where they are selling our land for alcohol, for sweet and sugar. Now we are here selling for our even women resources with what? Papers.
Yeah, resources.
In the name of US dollars.
Yeah. There are three things that they're after. You know, there was the colonial time, there was actually capturing of land and all that. But now, it's actually, you know, still they are scrambling for Africa. For what? Three things. One is resources. The other is market and influence.
And influence.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're scrambling it. When it comes to Africa, because everybody wants to have a piece of it.
Exactly.
So
that's why we have these different summits. And our leaders, what they do, they want to have to go in what do you call this photo snap or whatever?
Yeah.
Where you want to show yourself like you are in Utapi, the next morning you are in Swakop, it's like that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like entertainment for them also, you know. Yeah. Like a kind of holiday.
Yeah, but I also look on the other side. I also, as I said, I also played a devil advocate.
A devil advocate,
where to say, look, the process through African Union, the African Union is not offering what China offer, what, you know, Japan offer, what you... So if I wait, you know, and I have people that are really unemployed, I have a port that need upgrade, and I have, you know, Japan who said, we can do this now. Definitely the choice, that will be a political, pragmatic, you know, you're being politically pragmatic, because you have people that are hungry now. As much as you want that African unity, that voice, that strong unified voice to, you know, to really fight the other powerful nations, it's gonna take years, or it might not even take place at all.
It's never gonna come to the reality.
Yeah. So
that dream will die.
You rather said, well, let me sacrifice the unity of Africa and focus on my own country.
Yeah. But I think that is what we need. As individually, that first of all, cleaning the house. Just like now, we are talking about what? African free trade.
Yeah.
But if you look at Namibia, we don't need to be part of it. Because we in Namibia cannot trade from something from the north, cannot come from the side.
Yeah.
Then now we are telling you are advocating what? African trade.
Mm.
Who are you? Who are you to do that as a Namibian? You are not fitting there.
Yeah.
Because you have a country which cannot try it itself.
Mm.
Now you are advocating for Africans to try it. How? Just making things are come from Angola. And now we have a red line there. How? How is it going to work?
Yeah.
These are things which we need to do. First of all, we need to fix Namibia first before we look outside.
Yeah, that's what the article is saying. Yeah.
Mm. What we do as a... I know I'm bringing it at home for now.
Mm. Yeah.
What we do as a Namibian, we look foreign first before Namibian.
Yeah.
Do you remember the business people were complaining about that? But it's later, but I can bring it up. The later again. The complaint is that the later again never advertised that they are green scheme for Namibian to do it. But he took it, then he went to Dubai.
Yeah.
To tell Dubai people to come and produce food in Namibia.
Mm.
Why we don't start at home? And this is what they've been doing for all along. That's why we now, it's what I'm saying. In Namibia, we are not, we don't empower our human resource. We look somewhere else.
Yeah.
We always want to get somebody outside to give us an idea about Namibia problem.
Yeah, are we doing enough in terms of? I understand actually your point, and even the what is this? What the article is also being critical about. But are we being realistic with ourselves in terms of where we are in the world and our role? Maybe as Namibia now, really kind of like, can we compete? Now, we can say, you know, as a Namibia, as a country, can I compete with Indonesia, for example? Or can I compete with, you know, now as a country, now self-evaluation? So, and then realistically see, maybe I can, depending if how I need to change the way I do business. But I find myself already in this situation that I cannot be able to change now. Maybe moving forward, I can be able to do that. And that's what the government has been trying to do. But being dictated now? Now, the question is that, are we powerful really enough to really change certain things? To really have a role in the global market, I mean, in the global arena? You know, or we just, you know, we just follow? Are we just followers? Are we leaders? Are we just followers?
No. For now, we are just followers.
Yeah.
And sometimes we are not even followers, like you are part of it. That time we are maybe people will come to watch others playing in the field. We are not in the field yet.
Yeah.
We are not even at the bench. Maybe we are there in the crowd. Seriously.
You're a spectator.
Because we don't fit there.
Yeah.
We don't fit there. That's why I'm saying, who are we to talk about free trade if we are not even... Just imagine how many things have been made in Nigeria. Talk about Zambia. Talk about... even on Botswana here. They are giants when they come to us. That's why we have Lesotho today dominating Namibia. And we are not investing in our people to explore what the others are doing in Namibia. We can start even for our resources like fish. Fish alone can bring a lot of colors in Namibia. You know what you can do? You pick up the youth which you are funding now. Then you say, no, we'll put in Botswana. Every week you have a truck of fish coming to your shop. You put you in Zambia, we put you in DRC. Every week we have a truck coming from Namibia to bring the fish here. And you have also recruiting a lot of special, maybe like 5 Namibian, then a lot of Congolese in that shop.
Yeah.
And you can do this also with European. But what we do? We are having government objection quota in auction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The highest bidder get away with it, everything. And then you are talking about people who are come from America who are having money. You are talking about England who are having pounds.
Yeah.
Do you think Namibian?
It's an open market.
Namibian have a chance.
It's an open market.
Do you think Namibian have a chance, sir?
No, you don't. Yeah.
Not at all. So what I'm saying, we are not really investing in our people when it comes to women resources. We are not doing that.
Yeah.
We are looking outside. And this is a fact which is really not taking us anywhere. We are never going to reach 2030 vision. If you are thinking the same way.
Don't think about 2030 now. What do you mean 2030? You know, think of another number. 2030, which is all within 4 years or 3. No.
But make us serious. We can have a strategy of turning around the table if we are thinking enough. Because if Rwanda can do it, and the Burkina Faso, they just were shortly with 5 years almost. And they have even, they are producing tire now in their own country. Who are we going to do it? We have all the natural resources which we need it in the market.
Kanjengo always said, you have to be deliberate enough, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to be deliberate enough and to be able to make changes. Yeah.
So you also
the other thing is also that you should be prepared to be
for consequences.
What is the word? Orchestra being sidelined. You know, because if you're not following the rules, definitely they will sideline you and all that. You know, so
exactly.
You must be prepared that. And
I like it because when you are sidelined, you learn how to do your own thing.
Yeah, you diversify.
Exactly. Look at Zimbabwe. Look at Zimbabwe. If it was in Namibia, was done like that, do you think we survive?
Yeah.
We cannot survive even in a week. Here we learn from COVID that without a 2 or 3 trucks come from South Africa a day, we would die, my friend. Because what they made us now, it's what I'm telling you, that with that they made us now, our farmers are on the shelf of the retailers.
Yeah.
And it's what we do. We don't anymore. I'm telling you, you find even the kids now who are in the 20s, who are even going to get married. They don't know even how to what? To clean the chicken. To prepare for food.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is a thing which is happening. How we are,
it's
giving our youth.
Yeah, you ask them, they come.
We are selling a dream.
They're coming from Mushimba. I said, to go and catch the chicken and kill them. What? They don't
I'm
even know what
telling
to
you,
do.
No, I don't want to commit sin. I don't want to commit sin.
All right,
but
man.
But this is a staple food for us to do it.
Yeah.
Serious, we need to change it, man, so we can, at least, it's not too late.
Yeah. No, it's not.
It's very doable.
Of course, it is. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No, thanks right, for coming man. Through.
Okay, then.
Great. Mm. Very good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm great.
Hmm.
What are we talking today?
Man, we're talking a big problems that we have. A very good article looking at that our Africa's future is too often being discussed and decided in foreign capitals.
In foreign capital. Yeah, of course.
Eh?
You have no choice because you are part of the systems.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you are actually being ruled under the systems of democracy, anything that comes up, that means the system dictate already.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is no way. Let me give you an example. In the world of democracy, let's talk about specifically in a global South.
Yeah.
Who controls the monetary systems?
So it's institution, like probably the MIF, the also those. Mm.
Yeah.
The IMF. Yeah,
the
yeah.
one that controls.
Mm.
But I'm saying, us, the Africans here, who controls? When you want to print money, you have to compile documents and explain everything. And
your own money, yeah.
But it's your own money.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Mm.
So under the system, it seems as if us, the Africans, are not given any right to come up with an objective economical goals.
Is so that okay? Who should give
us? They are the elite, and we are the truth. Yeah.
Once you said we are not given, it's kind of like we have given someone power over us.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's go to the socials and the communists.
Mm.
In Russia, who owns the bank?
Yeah. Go on.
So once you own the bank, you own the whole objective goals of the financial systems.
Yeah.
And you nationalize that. It means it's yours, and you have every right to come up with whatever you want to come up with, so long it benefits the interest of the general public.
And 95% of our banks are not local.
Yeah. And that is now one of the biggest problems that we have.
Yeah.
And this is what makes them holding us hostage.
Mm.
You see, this is the problem. I have stopped complaining after I actually learned these things, that for as long as, you know, you follow the histories of the world.
Yeah.
And then you try and find out exactly what caused the war. Once you find out, you will always find out it's all about who control what.
Yeah.
Who, and it's nothing else, the financial system, the petrodollar, which is the American dollar, the control of natural resources, which is one of the important commodities when it comes to economy. Who control that?
Yeah.
Now, we as the Africans were actually made as vessels, whereby we have got no right on our own resources. Commodity.
Yeah. Mm.
We don't have right, and that's why when you go under the system of democracy.
Well, okay, maybe on that. When you say we don't have rights, how
we don't.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
But yeah.
How come and how have we lost that right?
No, def- definitely, the day you sign that you are going to rule your countries under the system of democracy, that is when you gave that away.
Mm-hmm. So democracy is not good for us?
It's not.
Yeah.
Democracy, this is where you find capitalism. This is where you find neoliberals, whereby a country's head have to be ruled by somebody that follows the whole systems of the globalist.
So, in actually, the president doesn't have power as long as he exercises the power within the system.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point that I'm trying to say here. Thank you for pointing it out for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this are the problem that we are having. I think the Gaddafis, they were trying very hard.
Mm.
If we could have followed the Gaddafis' philosophies or objective, we could have gone somewhere else. But look at what happened to him. He was killed because they know that this guy is going to learn. And you need to understand the Cold War and all the war that has happened in the world.
Yeah.
The Cold War, especially the one that started in Vietnam, what the North Vietnam and the South Vietnam.
Mm.
The South Vietnam, they were fighting because they wanted the countries to be under the communist. Yeah. And the Americans went there and get involved very hard in order for them to prevent, because the whole war was always between the communist and the democracy.
Yeah. Mm.
Those are two different. Because the communists are saying everything that is actually being found in the countries belongs to the people.
To the people, yeah.
It's ours.
Mm.
The democracies are saying, no, it's for the capitalism.
Yeah.
It's this is where they come up to say it, like you introduce a free market where the capitalism
it's for who can afford it. Yeah.
Who can afford. You see, and you need to understand that most of the African countries, for 500, we were actually denied any of those things. Now we are actually being given scrambles, and we think we are there. We are not there.
Yeah. So we're coming in a system that has been developed. First of all, the system probably, even if we understand it, there's nothing that we can do, you know, to change it.
Look at the Burkina Faso and the Niger.
Mm.
Now, when they threw that away and say, look, we are going to be on our own. Just look at them now. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at where they are. Give them 2-3 years. We can't compare ourselves with them anymore.
Yeah. Given where they were before.
Given where they were and where they are today.
Exactly. Within 5 years, actually. Mm.
You see, when even people saying, no, we want to go and vote, democracy, what? I'm just laughing because, look, you take this one and then you put another one and to go and manage the same systems that is actually in place. There is nothing that you can do. I think the only person that actually is evaded like here in Namibia was Sam Nujoma, because Sam Nujoma, I think he has his own way of leadership. Little bit, but still, because the only president that I have seen that has grown the economy to 6%, it was Sam Nujoma.
Mm.
No one else. And I have been observing and watching and learning. And this is where I'm able today to tell you, look, there is nothing. We can never come to the stages with those people. We are being held hostage.
And is there no context to that, maybe? Because it's a new country. You know, a new democratic country, everybody want to invest into that. So there could be a context to that as well.
Look, I always forget your name.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike. What I have learned, that's why I'm able to actually tell you that you, until you control your financial system, then you are sovereign. If you don't control that, then there is nothing that you can do. That is the biggest problem, most especially now that the geopolitics, it's on top of the skies. Mm. You see, Because right now, the war that is actually is happening in the world is exactly the Cold War that started in 1961 to 1980 to 1991, that subsequently end up to the Soviet Union's being dissolved.
That
the whole war was about who control what and who control what. There is nothing that we can do. We can talk and talk and elect the new government and do whatever. It will not make any change.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. Maybe a little bit. Little bit. What do you own? You don't own the mines. You don't own the land. What is it that you have? The lands are private properties. What is it that you have? Nothing.
Yeah.
So we, the Africans, are vessels. We are nothing. We have nothing. We are waiting for those that manage the system to say we have a new, we have a new agenda, what. And every advantage is on their court, not on your court.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are not there for you. They are capitalism. They want to monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great, man. Thanks for coming through and for your contribution this morning. Yeah?
Thank you.
All right. Very good morning to you. So you're also welcome to come through and have your contribution. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes. The issue on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think on my opinion on that, for them to go and learn in the experience what the Japanese has done, because when you look at the management philosophy of the Japan and those country very close, even the Chinese. So you learn that they have done quite a good thing in almost industry. Say, for example, in the automotive industries and those technologies, just crafting up very, very good management practice. You would learn that their industry, in terms of technology, they have done quite good.
Yeah.
They are on the advanced stage. So therefore, it's necessary for you to have the first experience. How did they build their industries, their manufacturing industries? So rather than just, you know, we have always studying in our books there, management books and all these other things, how the Japanese have been on top.
Yeah.
So is that not worth now for us to learn? And by going there as a block, and you can negotiate at that level, I think the benefits are huge. Unlike when you go it alone.
Yeah, no, that's the point. The point that the article is saying that, look, the African leaders are ignoring their own agreed upon AU rules to present unified front, and opting. Now they are opting for individual, you know, like they are, everyone is going, but what they have agreed is that, you know, let's have a unified, maybe someone from SADC, from ECOWAS and all that. So, and then they will represent they go as a united front representing Africa. But now we go as individuals, and have a bilateral, deals on an individual basis rather than on an African
basis. Every country has got its own unique system. So even if they are going on individual basis, they are actually representing their country. Maybe those people who are going, are drawn from those sectors that you are talking about. And if they can present that as an African continent or whatever, and their individually needs, individually country needs are incorporated in there, whatever they are going to discuss, I believe it's still good, because we also have this, we have got our block also here. We have got WASCO, we have got, what is it, Africa, you know, all those blocks that are established. Mm. So if they are going like that, obviously they negotiate from their own individual point of view, but it can't be a codified kind of an approach. There's nothing wrong with that. If you say, yes, our needs in Namibia is youth employment.
Yeah.
And these are the areas that they can get into. Maybe any area that really responds to their need, their interest. There's nothing wrong with that. You from Zimbabwe, you are saying here, we are done very well. We have more doctors. If that is the case, then our own case will be a bit different from the Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
But obviously, they will have a common ground. They have a common understanding. So, and because they know the need. And in those countries, many of those countries, they were built, they were developed with resources from Africa. Now they will now go and see, okay, what have you done in agriculture? And this is what we are struggling with. Is it the water infrastructure development? Or is it the skill? In what area do you need skill development, for example? Where do we now strike a bilateral agreement in terms of technical agreement? So it is your area to present, it's you to present. So going as individual countries, they have also agreed. They have got their different agenda. And those agendas can be presented in that forum.
All right.
So I think it's not really, the article is fine, but I still feel that it hasn't gone much in the benefits that we can get from that forum.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Okay.
Oh, 0833-66091. Oh, 0833-66091. You're most welcome to come through. So there is also that aspect, what they refer to as illusion. And maybe something that we look at in that way, that, you know, the partnership offered at this summit, you know, they are often transactions. So they are often transactions. They said designed to benefit the host, designed to benefit actually the host nation's strategic interest. And this is normally from securing resources, and also to gain political influence. So, Eagle FM.
Yes.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Is it the how we are discussing our issues with the king or with the headman, so for us to go addressing our issues with the masters or what now? What is the question really?
So the article looked at a couple of things, like why we go to a foreign capital to discuss African issues, you know. So that's one thing. The other thing is also that So that now, so that, it, and the article thinks that we are reinforcing a circle of dependency and weakening the continental bargaining power, you know, because we are in someone's house now and they are in the position of power. Okay. And the other aspect is also the partnership offered. So in terms of either, you know, loan and whatever this, it said, the article say that at this summit, these are transactions designed actually to benefit the host nation's strategic interest, you know, to secure like resources and political influence in Africa. Yeah.
Yeah, but on the look of the democracy and on the look of the geopolitics and benefit of Africa, as we are talking about the dependence, the services that we are more depending, for example, of living or, for example, of development, it comes from those masters, those who are running the world, who are moving with the development.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the resources that maybe we are proud of having it in our hand, but it's not a final
good to say
I have what I have.
Yeah.
That is where it's making us to understand those masters. Because when you go to them, it's where you are putting the table what you have.
Mm.
And you are listening to what they are offering you.
Yeah.
So, it was happened the time of the OPEC countries in the between 1969 to 1972, so when they were discussing about the price of the oil, and who is drilling the oils and all of that, some OPEC countries end up having issues with those explorers because of their money that they are putting in. So it's not a issue or a problem to say why we are including by G20 to be with our own voice. Because remember, AU is guaranteed within the all 54 countries.
Yeah.
They must come representing themselves in the G20. But when G20 was formed, it was formed to discussing about the issue of finances, which in African countries, we are not really sticking on the democracy or transaction rules, for example.
Yeah.
Because when we're changing the political party, the debt that was there, some of them, they are said no. If you look at, for example, the Burkina Faso, those ECOWAS countries, and what they did. So they get rid of France. In terms of look at what France was pumping it or what it was financing it. So at the end of the day, we have also such a thing in Africa. Because if you look at in our parliament, for example, in our parliament, for in Namibia here, the fear of the IMF to giving us money is that what if the swap loss? What those political parties that are fighting for swap, are they going to bind the rules of this loan?
Yeah.
Or they are going to change it? Those are the problems that these leaders, they are going there to discussing all of that. They are going there to talk about. Because if you want to understanding that issue, go to Zambia. Say debt, national debt that was negotiated by G20 and by other European clubs or funding, because they are helping Zambia because of the way that they look at democracy, the transaction that was happening there.
Yeah.
You see, there is five of different parties that are ruling Zambia with a peaceful transition.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things that we are not saying
why you go to China to discuss about uranium. Yes, it's like you know Shwambo, ngengune ngekete, ndekushono ha haningombite.
Yeah.
Kunafiku ka ngombite. So those are the type of things that if as I said, in Namibia it doesn't even making money. If you look at their budget, it's 5.8 billion US dollar. And to you to setting up a nuclear plant out of uranium, it requires 10 billion to 30 billion US dollar, yeah, which you don't have even in your revenue.
Yeah.
So those are the type of things you blaming the readers to say why we have to go discussing with the glossy Western.
But then when, like, for example, that example that you're giving, so if we surely know that it takes us $10 billion actually to, you know, to put up a refinery, for example, you know, or a nuclear reactor plant. So why would we discuss it in a context of Namibia rather than maybe in a continental, you know, arena? So because this is one of the things that they're saying, much of we are fragmented. We have a fragmented approach, which actually then undermines the Africa grand plans for like the Agenda 2063, the continental free trade areas. So because we are focusing on tackling our own problems that we found in our country, and in given like an example you've given, there's no way that we're going to be able to do that.
Yes, there's no way you can do that. But first of all, you need to understanding this, that the financial institutes in Africa, for example, African Development Bank, which is under AU, doesn't have or making enough money to fund all the African projects. But if you look at in some financial institutes in China, for example, you find in the Agri Bank, which is about $2 or $3 trillion on their hand, that is a hard cash. And also, even the government are bailing out or they're funding those projects, those future projects which are coming in. So, for us now, Africans, to go to the development and discussing about it, we have only 5 or 6 billion billionaires in the continent, which is about 1.5 billion people in, but our financial institute or our businesses, which is serving the African, are not well profited in our services. So at the end of the day, we don't have money in our hand, because remember the rules of the game. You have to make it clean money.
Yeah.
If you want it to be a part of the game, they don't buy. You cannot making money in war and wanting to buy cooking oil. They will not allow that. Brad Diamond cannot be that. So those are the terms of the game. We live in the world. We want to live in the world in terms of competition.
Yeah.
So you cannot printing money just because you want the Namibian dollar to be have value. Is out of what? So those are the five type of the things that some people, they don't understand that why we want into including in the why Africa doesn't want into to wanting to playing games within the world. It's because of the terms of the world.
Can we follow the terms of the world in Africa, for example? Then we have that can be actually produced. Our money can be then be produced in Africa rather than in Europe.
Yeah, if we don't want to do that, let's talk about the health issue, for example. If we allow it our traditional healers to do what they want in the exchanging of making money, people will die, because all the ones that is related into the traditional healers, they will become a doctors.
And at the end of the day, we don't have a regulation of seeing that the herbs that you are giving to the patient, is it really cure that disease, or you are just trying? So we end up having a lot of trial, which is killing millions of people. So then to regulate it with the WHO, World Health Organization, to regulating those doctors who are coming, or herbal who are coming up with a new discovering of herbal. So at the end of the day, I don't know what we really want as an African to say. We don't want him to be a part of the world.
Mm.
Yeah, but if you are saying my country doesn't want that, at the end of the day, your people will be not be. Some of the every day you're finding people are crossing the border.
With system now, global system, you cut off from the world, definitely.
Yeah. Because if you look at what is happening to North Korea, for example, and you look at what is happening to China, it's the same situation. Because in China, if you are making more than $100 billion and you are not attaching to the government, you'll be in problem. That's why you see now those Jack Ma and others, they are in a problem because they fear of power. And that is what we were having before the democracy, before the democracy was introduced. Because the king were not wanted any power men in their kingdom, in their territory. Mm. So if you become having a lot of mahangu field or having a lot of cattle, you find having a problem of thief, but that is if he's sent it by the king. You understand?
Mm.
So those are the things that if we don't remember when after the Second World War, this is the open, it was a wake-up caller for them to forming up those organizations that are unite, that is everybody have a voice in to contribute on saying, I'm threatened by this. But if you look at Gaddafi, for example, as in some people are giving example of Gaddafi. Gaddafi were dictators. He doesn't want others to rule in the Libya.
Mm.
But he's not the only person in Libya who have more ideology of ruling that country.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that is what I'm saying. Some of us were not fitting to the debate because of we wanted to understanding that giving somebody chance, or giving your cousin a chance, or giving your brother a chance, it's also to prove him that he can do better than you, or he learning from you.
Mm.
So democracy and our parliament is the one that is giving Africa poor because the finances that we want, as we are talking about collateral security, the thing that is playing a role in our financial institute is that if you are not proving that you are a part of the game, we cannot loan you money.
Yeah.
Because that's why you see the drug dealers and the thieves, they also wanted to be a part of a financial institute when they're making more money.
Mm.
But they know that the money, you steal it from somebody who is crying and working hard into making that money, and you tricking him to make. We cannot recognize you as a money maker.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mike, that is, let us understanding that the resources that we have, it needs an ingredient.
Yeah.
And it needs a pot. And if you don't have a pot, you cannot cook the food. Okay? Mm. So those are the things. You need match, you need firewood, you need what. And those things we don't have it. No matter we have a herbal of medication, we have to send it to those people who have labs, to do those things, to do vaccine, to do what. But they help. Since 1962, those polio and others were controlled because of what? Because of being united with the world.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway.
No, thank you for your contribution and for coming through this morning,
You're welcome, my brother.
All right. Well, our time right now, it's OptiCop. Let's see
Last one quickly. Very good morning. You're the last, and you have only about a few minutes.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. The last caller, I think he had some points, but at the same time, I think he was I'm not sure whether he was contrary. He got me lost.
Yeah. Are you there? We lost you. Now we lost you. All right. So, hello?
Yes, what happened?
We lost you. You said you lost him, so now you get lost.
I also got lost. Yeah, he lost me somehow, but never mind.
Yeah, quick. Yeah.
The quick one is, if you go and have a discussion about your well-being of your house in another man's house, you don't have any leverage. You are discussing the peace between you and him in his house. You cannot say anything. That's why you see that when they discuss peace, Trump and the America and Russia, they don't go to Europe or wherever. They choose another space where they think this is maybe.
Yeah, more like a neutral space.
The neutral place, you see. And in this case, last time when they looked at which will be the neutral place, they said, okay, let's go to Alaska.
Yeah.
It might be falling under America, but it was Russia before.
Mm.
So they all thought, okay, here we can discuss. Now, the other part of institution and the last call I said about the game of the money issue is you don't have blood money. Because you took the money, someone is crying. Now, in this instance, when Europe is doing business with Africa, is Africa happy or Africa is crying? So is that business now legitimate? Because you are coming, you dictate the terms and condition of the price I should sell you my minerals, not me. You see?
Yeah.
So can we also declare that type of business is not the right business? Because me, the owner, must set the price.
But what you're saying is that you actually follow the system and the principle that whoever put them there, you know?
Yes, so, I understand. Now, the other thing we should do is when people are coming up with new ideas, to fight, no, but to question whatever have been there before. There's nothing wrong. And I think the best way is it working for us after all this long?
Yeah.
And I think that's what most people are asking these questions.
Yeah.
Is this system working for us to date? Is it relevant today?
Yeah.
Or is it irrelevant?
All right.
Yes, that's where I'm going to leave.
Okay, great then.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, and ladies and gentlemen, and that brings us also to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day Today. And as always, thank you for coming through and for your contributions is what make this program what it is. So now I'm going to leave you in the capable hand of Mr. Franz coming up with Amosha. Please stay tuned. And another great conversation coming up. I think it's on financial inclusion, that we also covered it at one point here. So last week, so it's continuous, and it's gonna be done. Maybe in English, it's you may not follow. Yeah, now it will be in Oshiwambo. So please make sure that you are tuned in and join Tate Franza as we cross to Windhoek. And from me, I'll see you tomorrow here on the same station at the same time from 8 to 10 o'clock. For me, Michael Chiavelli, so goodbye for now.